everybody! It's a Tuesday! Let's have a party!
What kind of party?
A magic party, Megan.
Oh, you mean like we're gonna hire a magician?
Yes.
Oh, what are they gonna do? Will they tie balloons?
No.
I'm thinking of clowns.
Nope, they're not gonna do that.
So they're not clown magicians?
No.
What are they gonna do?
We're gonna play magic with magicians! It'll be a double magic party!
Oh, man. Are they gonna have like cards up their sleeves and stuff?
That would be cheating, so no.
It would be. But you know, if you're a magician and you're cheating, is it magic?
Wow. That's a really philosophical question.
It really is. It's a deep question with a lot of layers.
Yeah.
It's like a 7-layer Jell-O question.
Like a 7-layer burrito.
What? That's not a thing. Burritos can't have layers.
It is now.
Try to tell me how you're going to have layers in a burrito.
I'm going to do it circular. So there's a layer on the outside of the bean dip. And inside of that is the lettuce layer. But it's very cold, frozen lettuce so that it maintains its circular shape in the burrito. Uh-huh. Then there's the cheese layer, but it's like American cheese. So it can kind of mold to the form of the, this burrito sounds so
really
gross.
Bad. You've managed to make a bad burrito, which is really an accomplishment. You have to mess up really hard.
What part of bean dip, frozen lettuce, and American cheese do you not like in your burrito?
Oh, God. Like, why are we putting bean dip in our burrito? Why are we just putting beans in our burrito like a normal goddamn burrito eater would? Like, are we talking, like Frito bean dip is what I imagine.
Yeah. Something like
you
that.
You created a monstrosity, and like, I'm insulted on a deeply personal level by the burrito that you've described.
Maria's American Burrito Abominations opening this summer.
Disgusting.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Magic the Amateuring, the show where you not only get to hear about terrible burritos, but you get to hear about great magic.
That's right. We are a podcast for people who are new to the game of magic, who are returning to the game of magic after a hiatus, and anybody who likes to listen to people talk about magic while thinking about magic or reading about magic.
I'm one of your hosts. My name's Maria.
My name's Megan.
And we are going to have a really exciting show for you today because we are coming hot off the heels of the Kaladesh pre-release.
That's right. We went all the way to Victoria, Canada, which is a place.
Yes.
And a lovely place.
It was great.
It was. An island, in fact.
Yep.
Lovely island. And we got to play some Kaladesh Sealed with the members of Loading Ready Run, as well as Blake from Wizards and Stibbs from TCG Player.
Yeah, it was awesome. And we're going to talk about it a little bit more in the show coming up. But not only are we going to talk about our pre-release experience, mm-hmm. we're going to get you ready for your pre-release experience. So we're knocking off a pre, but it's still there's still one pre.
There's
for
still
you guys.
One pre. It's not a release experience.
It's just a pre-release.
It's not like, it's not like we're not reintroducing you to the wild after you were rehabilitated in captivity.
A release experience. Oh, my God.
We're not going to give you a massage.
Do you think at the zoo that's what they do before they send the owl that had a broken foot back out into the wild?
What?
Just give him a little shoulder rub.
No, look, think about it. A massage is a release experience.
What kind of massages are you getting?
Don't make it creepy.
You said it.
Look. Fine.
Anyway, we're going to be giving you tips for the pre-release coming up this weekend, which is super exciting. As you may know, pre-release time of the year is my favorite time of the year. And Kaladesh is a super sweet new set. Yeah. And we've got Judge Rob, who will be joining us to tell us all about the new rules and mechanics and crazy card interactions that might come up that you may have questions about. You may have submitted a question to us on Twitter. We'll read it off. Rob will answer it in his infinite wisdom. And Megan and I will make some wisecracks, probably.
Yeah, that's about how it goes. Look, how do you know that owl's rehabilitation did not include physical therapy, and physical therapy can't include massage, so maybe it did.
I don't know, Megan. How do you massage an owl?
Like the way you massage anything else.
Okay, because you've got to get to the muscles. And there's a lot of delicate bird bone that you have to go through.
Okay, you're not going to be like squeezing the owl. But you're
What are you going to do?
You're going to gently prod it.
You're going to lift up its little wings and tickle its owl armpits?
No, that's tickling an owl.
That sounds way cuter.
You want to put your fingers in an owl's armpit?
Yeah, now I really do. Do you think it's warm under there?
Probably.
Nice.
Now who's gross?
Because I want to tickle an owl?
I can't be alone
in that desire. That simply can't be true.
Oh, Jesus. So, everybody, before we continue moving on.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That sentence made no sense.
Like, I'm just going to give some context to the show. We just got off of two planes.
That's right.
And rolled right into the podcast studio.
Yeah, we sure did.
We're a little loopy.
It's a little late.
We streamed for 10 hours yesterday.
Yes, we did.
Anyway, so moving on. I just want to mention, of course, that the show has a sponsor. If you didn't hear the excellent news, we are now sponsored by Card Kingdom.
Yeah, we couldn't
ask for a better sponsor.
No, you really couldn't. They sponsor currently so many other things that we love.
Yeah.
If you are in the Seattle area, we highly encourage you to check out one of their stores because they are great. They are a true mecca of gaming. And if you are not in Seattle, go visit it. Or you can visit them online, cardkingdom.com.
So we encourage you to go to cardkingdom.com/MTAcast because then they'll know we sent you.
That's right.
You can go there and order all the cards that you're going to need. Coming up, we've got a new standard season that's going to be coming in with Kaladesh. So if there's any decks that you think might happen and you want to get the cards to test them out, I think now would be a good time to do it. Head over to cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. They ship super fast.
Yes, they do.
And they have excellent customer service. So those are two amazing reasons to use them. If not only that, you want to support the show and support them as well. So cardkingdom.com/MTAcast.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that we don't also need your support, of course, as always on patreon.com. /MTAcast. Welcome to all the new members of the Less Than 1% family.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome. We've got great rewards for supporters at every level from $1 an episode all the way up to 10. We couldn't be more thankful for everybody who helps us out there as our lives continue to change and the podcast becomes an even bigger part of it. As we continue to make the show, you guys become an even bigger part of it too, because you help sustain it as we take more and more of our lives to work on the show. So it's a full circle.
In addition to getting rewards at every level, we are now doing a giveaway each month as well. So for September, we've already added to our monthly Patreon giveaway this month. There will be a dual deck. Omnixilis versus Nissa. There will be the pack of Cons of Tarkir that we cracked last week, the cards out of there. And this week we are adding to September's sweet haul this beautiful dice bag from Classic Art Tokens, as well as the set of tokens inside. So these are super cool, really like gorgeous tokens.
Yeah.
And a really nice dice bag. So this is going to go into that drawing.
Yeah, thanks to Original Magic Art for supplying us with this. You can follow them on Twitter.
Yes, which they absolutely should. You can also, if you don't win this, you know, go support them and get some of these beautiful and kick-ass tokens.
Yeah, that's a 1/1 fairy?
Yes, this one is a 1/1 fairy, and it's, let's see, Frank Xavier Liondecker, 1922. It's like this beautiful, it's called the Flapper, but she's like a 1920s Flapper,
pretty.
But like also with butterfly wings.
Yeah.
So anyways, other sweet tokens like that, you guys.
Awesome. So yeah, great stuff that we're rewarding our patrons with this month. We have two drawings, one for a patron just of any sort at the end of the month, and a drawing for somebody who has just joined this month. So if you've considered...
Which is just this month a dual deck.
Yes.
Omnixilis versus Nissa.
Yeah. So if you've been on the fence, I would consider you to make the. I would encourage you to make the jump because it means a lot to us, and hopefully the show means a lot to you too. Pre-release wrap with Judge Rob.
Hey everybody! There's some sick new mechanics that are happening in Kaladesh, and we've got Judge Rob here to help us understand them. What's up, Judge Rob?
Hi. Nothing much. Just reading.
Yeah. Judge Rob, what were you reading?
Salmon Fuzzy Classic Omnibus Volume 1. Salmon Fuzzy is a very long-running webcomic, and I'm going back through their archives because I want to know what the hell's going on.
This is a hefty volume.
Yes. This is back before he was doing actual plots, and it was just Gagaday stuff.
Nice.
There was something very loosely resembling continuity, but realistically, the world was like The Simpsons. fairly static and resetting.
We can always count on Judge Rob for a good book recommendation on his episodes.
Yeah.
Have you read Nimona yet?
No, I haven't.
It's my favorite webcomic made book. Mm. It's one of my favorite books. It's great. You guys go read Nimona. It's great.
Can you spell that?
Nimona by Noelle Stevenson.
Mm-hmm. Don't get pneumonia, though. That is a problem.
Not recommended.
Pneumonia, we don't recommend that. We're not a medical podcast, but we don't recommend
pneumonia.
So, yeah, Judge Rob, did you happen to catch any of the pre-release this past weekend?
I did not. I was packing my house because I'm moving soon.
That's okay, so. Because it's on video on demand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll also be YouTube. Yeah, I just wanted to push that out because we streamed for 10 hours.
Yes.
Nonstop yesterday.
Thanks, Blake.
We blame Blake for everything.
Yeah, Blake is 3 hours of that 10.
Yeah, it's true. He built a very slow / grindy / value blue white deck.
Yes.
Which was really sweet. Using Panharmonicon and Cloud Blazer.
Oh, God.
To Ultimate Value Town.
Stop. I'm having flashbacks.
Yeah, it took forever. Like, actually forever. But it's really funny. Go back and watch the matches because Megan is sitting as the table friend, the third person watching the match for, like, his second round.
Yeah.
And at the end of the round, you had aged 20 years or so.
Yep. No, it's true.
It's a great joke. Anyway, Megan, what were your first overall thoughts playing the pre-release of the format?
I had a great time. I thought that there were tons of interesting decisions and interesting math and cool cards. I loved it. I had a great time.
Yeah, Loading Ready Run was fantastic hosts.
Yeah.
Of course. And I had a great time, too. I had a lot more fun playing this pre-release, like this sealed deck format, than I can remember kind of in the recent past.
Yeah. I think, you know, Shadows and Moon were obviously so dark and grim and spooky.
Yes.
So they, while being a lot of fun, they were also dark and grim and spooky. And this was, you know, notably, you know, a lot more, it felt, you know.
Lighter, more optimistic, like vehicles
dark, from crew less vehicles. Grim,
it's very spooky. Silly.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was just a fun set.
I remarked at one point during my matches that I felt that I was thinking more in this game of Magic than I'd ever thought in a game of Magic. I don't know if that's really true. But what I meant was there's a lot of complicated decisions that you have to make, not only about your board state, but also what your opponent may do because of vehicles. Vehicles, man, they're new and they're cool, and they can make the board states pretty difficult to know, like, what decision is my opponent going to make when it comes to crewing? So that was one of my overall takeaways. Fabricate, we're going to talk about that later in the show. It's pretty interesting, and I'll make some observations about that as well. There's also a lot of good tricks in this format, too, I think.
Yeah. I think that energy actually looks really complicated to play with, too.
Yeah.
Because it's just an extra resource that you have to track all of the time. How much energy do you have?
Yeah.
Four?
Right now, I'm at, like, a one. You guys.
See, I took a nap.
Good thinking.
Good job on that nap.
Yeah, man.
I don't know, Megan, how did you find the speed of the format? I know it's sealed, so it's usually pretty slow, but
I felt like it was pretty slow.
Yeah, I agree.
Then again, one of my matches was against Blake, so.
How long was that match, Megan?
It was an hour and a half.
Okay.
This is why in tournaments we have time limits for rounds.
So smart. So smart. You really come to appreciate the time limit on a round, which I never thought I would, but boy, I did.
Megan, what deck did you build?
I built a blue-black deck that was a little bit slower. It had kind of two top-end mythics and a top-end rare at 6, 6, and 7.
You had a Gearhulk.
So, yeah, I did. I had a Noxious Gearhulk. It was great. I also had a Demon of Dark Schemes.
Nice.
Also great. Just really, you know, really cool stuff.
You had the big Sky Whale, too.
Yeah. Not the Sky Whale, the Leviathan.
Yeah, the Leviathan.
Aether Squall Ancient.
Yes.
The flying one that you can bounce everything with energy. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah, your deck had some sick top end.
It really did.
What did you name your deck?
Murder, She Wrote.
So good. I played Grubbs Take the Wheel because I had three copies of Thriving Grubbs, and how can I not play three copies of Thriving Grubbs? And I had three vehicles, and my mission was to crew my vehicles with my Grubbs, and let me tell you, I achieved the dream.
Yeah.
I achieved the dream.
Sure did.
Sure. So that was a really fun deck to play too. Notably had two copies of Welding Sparks, which is that an instant is and is very good. It's two and a red and it deals X damage to target creature, where X is the number of artifacts you control plus three. So it could very easily be a 4 or 5 damage spell for three at instant speed. Anyway, so those are just my overall highlights from playing the pre-release. Again, it was great fun. If you guys didn't see it, check out Loading Ready Run's YouTube page or Video On Demand on Twitch, because it was just a blast. And you can just like click around. That's a 10-hour stream. Just get in there at any point. You'll be seeing some fun games of Magic.
Very true.
And kind of see how your pre-release might play out.
And you can also see some deck techs in between rounds.
Yeah, we did that as well. So yeah, check that out. Or don't. I'm not your mom. Kaladesh stuff with Judge Rob. All right, Judge Rob, hit us with your knowledge.
So, cards, they have words on them.
Yes. That's true.
We're starting with the basics.
Yeah, very basics.
Sounds good.
This is for beginners, right?
Yes. Everyone needs to start at the basics.
Yeah. Cards have words.
Cards have words.
Some of them have the same words as cards have had before, notably the masterpieces.
Yeah, that's very true.
Last year for Battle for Zendikar and Oath of the Gatewatch, they included a set of super rare cards in them. In other card games, they're like secret rarities or like upper tier rarities that exist above the normal rarity structure.
Yes.
And so they started doing this in Magic, right? And they started doing it at the Battle for Zendikar. They released the Expeditions, which were reprints of old lands or some lands that were in the set. They were about one, a little more frequent than one per case.
Yeah.
So about every 5 or 6 boxes, you'd get one.
Ooh.
And
that's pretty rare.
Yeah, that's very, very rare. They had a special frame treatment. They had special foiling process. They were super cool. And after about 4 months after the set came out, I said, you know, I want these to be in every set. No, seriously, the price of Standard went down for Battle for Zendikar. Battle for Zendikar had like 3 cards that were worth anything. And to be fair, the set didn't have a lot of super powerful cards. Mm-hmm. And so that had an impact. But also, the value of a booster can't be higher than $4 aggregated across all boosters, right? So the average value of a booster has to be lower than the cost of a booster.
Yes.
And when you have a bunch of expensive cards that suck up all the value in the set, that means the other cards have to lose their value, which makes Standard cheaper. It means that you're less likely to get your value out of drafting. So there's a trade-off there. But people have been complaining about the price of Standard for a while.
Yeah.
Well, they're also complaining they can't get a lot of these sweet old cards. If you want Sword of War and Peace, you want Sword of Feast and Famine, well, you had to go acquire them on secondary market. You can't open them in boosters. Except that you can. There's a whole pile of these masterpieces that are coming out in Kaladesh. Because Kaladesh is all about artifacts, the masterpieces exist. And they are all artifacts, and they're going to be putting this in every normal set from here on out, where they have these super rare cards, these secret rares. They're going to call them different things in every set, but they're just going to be reprints of stuff, of super cool things.
Yeah, these are the inventions this time around.
They're the inventions that people invented to show up to the Inventor's Fair that Tezzeret then confiscates, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, seems like it.
Yes, he just steals them all. He's like, you know, these are all sweet. Thank you for your donation. You can go home.
Yeah, if I saw a Sword of Fire and Ice laying around, I might just take it.
Yeah, that seems perfectly reasonable. I think the
you sort mean of like a real full sword?
Yeah, of fire and ice specifically.
Wow. Which side would you hold?
The handle. Like it is fire on one blade, edge and ice on the other.
But you're like the handle's not fire and ice also, because that's just dangerous.
Yeah.
All right.
I could just buy a tube of Icy Hot too. Call it a day.
Sword of Icy Hot. Great sword.
Yeah, I think these are pretty awesome, and I'm super stoked that they're going to be in every set from here on out, because it's really exciting to open one of these.
Yes.
I never opened an Expedition, so I'm due. Do you hear me, Wizards? I'm due. But like, it's very exciting. At the pre-release, Kathleen with her sick pool. I don't know who she like sold her soul to get this pool, but she had a Gear Hulk. An invention Gear Hulk. Torrential Gear Hulk. So it's not one of the sweeter ones, but it looked great.
Torrential Gear Hulk seems pretty sweet to me.
Yeah, it'll probably be
a huge flash guy.
Yes.
Like, in limited, you don't care about the instant thing. You're just like, you attack me, flash in a guy, kill your attacker.
Yeah, I think it's possible Torrential might see some Standard play.
I think that Torrential probably obviates most of the rest of the Gear Hulks. It literally does the things that all the other Gear Hulks do wrapped into a single card. Because you can find instants to duplicate, like, it like Noxious Gear Hulk, and Torrential Gear Hulk just copies murder.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Get there.
Get there. It's a pretty sweet card. But yeah, so it was exciting. I didn't even actually know she opened it until she played it in a game. And I was like,
yeah, oh, I was like, that's pretty. It was really pretty.
Oh, it looked great.
It looked so great.
So yeah, I'm excited about them. I think they're a great move too.
Yeah. I'm very excited about them being in every set going forward. That was the other thing. They're playable and limited.
Yes.
If you open it in a draft, you draft it as a card. If you open it in sealed, you get to play it as part of your sealed. Yes. It doesn't get removed from the draft. You get to play it. It's super sweet. And if you go to a GP and you play in a GP day two where they have stamped product, they'll still be in the stamped product. You can open a stamped. You can open a stamped Sword of Feast and Famine. You can order a stamped Mana Vault or Mana Crypt.
So Sol Ring seems pretty good to be in my limited pool is what you're telling me.
It's directly comparable to Mana Vault and Mana Crypt. The fast mana out of these are ridiculous. They're the three best pieces of fast mana of all time.
There you go.
But I want to talk about the three mechanics because they're big mechanics that do a lot of stuff in this set. And I want to start with Fabricate because Fabricate is super neat.
Yeah.
And it's also, like, it sounds straightforward, but it has a couple of wrinkles. So Fabricate is when a creature with Fabricate enters the battlefield, it has a Fabricate number. It's a triggered ability, goes in the stack, and then at the time the trigger resolves, so you have Fabricate 2 is your number. You get to choose between either making two servo tokens or putting two +1/+1 counters on the creature. It's a trigger, which means that you can respond to it. So if you have, like, a Pima Outrider, it's a 3/3 with Fabricate 1 and Trample. For green and two. So you cast a Pima Outrider and you want a Welding Sparks it for three to kill it. You can do that with the trigger on the stack. The Fabricate trigger still resolves, and Fabricate actually is a default action. It's kind of a weird trigger under the hood. The default action is make tokens. So if you can't put counters in the creature because it's not there anymore because it got killed, you make tokens. You don't get the choice.
Right.
And so, which is cool. You just get the tokens regardless of whether or not the creature's dead. You can't choose to lose your Fabricate.
I would like to lose my Fabricate.
I would like to
Fabricate.
Not get anything.
Bad choice.
Sometimes it might be relevant if your opponent has things that care about the number of creatures you control or something. But usually you just want servo tokens. They're fine.
Yeah, so you can't super get blown out. Like, your creature can be killed, but you'll still get your tokens.
Yeah, exactly. You won't get your Pima Outrider, but you get a 1-1 instead. Yeah. That's fine.
Playing with the set, I just want to say something quick about Fabricate is my very, very early impressions were that it, to me, let me think. Yes, I never put a 1-1 counter on the creature. I always made a servo.
Okay. I mean,
sometimes people make put counters on things.
Yeah, I picked Pima Outrider because it has trample, and sometimes having a 4-4 trample creature is more relevant than a 3-3 trample in a 1-1.
Yeah.
Like, if your opponent has a 3-3, sometimes you need a trampler, right?
Yeah, that's true. So, I just noticed that I was seeing, I would say, maybe 70%+ of the time, people making a servo instead.
Yeah, it's based on Sandstep Outcast, is the card that did this from Fate Reforged. And so Sandstep Outcast, you made the token 98% of the time or something.
Yeah.
Like, I think I put a +1/+1 counter on it once because I knew my opponent had multiple 1 damage effects or something.
Sure. Yeah, it's a cool mechanic because it gives you choice, and having choice in a card is always something that's very strong.
Yeah, and I think that as we get more into the limited format, it'll probably be more of a decision as people figure out, you know, more ways to kill servos, because there's a lot of ways to kill one toughness creatures in the set.
Yes, there are.
And so people might aggressively bring in cards that kill servos.
Yeah, normally that's some kind of a telling point of a set is how often you play an effect that deals 1 damage.
Yeah, that's pretty key. Like, there's a black uncommon that gives all your opponent's creatures -1/-1. Mm-hmm. And I might just main deck that. That seems fine.
Yeah, and there's like the flame, I want to say flame welder. I know that's not right. The puzzle knot, the red puzzle knot.
Oh yeah, red puzzle knot kills servos.
Yep.
And so there's just a bunch of them that happen to do this kind of stuff. And so it might end up being right more if they pushed out more of the -1/-1 or kill 1 toughness thing stuff. When we move on to one of the other big mechanics, energy.
Energy.
Energy is weird. Energy is so weird. You get counters. They've done this twice before where players get counters with infect, poison. Poison gives you counters, and then experience counters from the commander sets give you counters. Energy is giving you counters that you use as a resource for stuff. So you probably put an energy zone card out there and then just start putting dice on it to mark how many energy you have.
I want to point out that IKEA has also given me a counter.
Really?
They just gave it to you? What did you do?
It was a part of their customer loyalty program.
One IKEA free
counter. You're such a loyal IKEA customer. Here's a counter.
Yeah. Most people are just like, I have no use for this. Yeah. I don't have, you know, but I was like, thanks. Free counter. It's not true. The story is not true.
Don't look IKEA. Don't look a gift counter under its surface.
It's super weird. You get counters, you get to spend them. These aren't mana. Mm-hmm. There's a symbol for them, the little lightning bolt in the five-sided shield symbol. Mm-hmm. But that isn't mana. Things that add any color or type of mana to your mana pool don't add energy. But it is a resource, and you hang on to it forever. It doesn't empty at the end of steps or phases. Mm-hmm. The other thing to note is that your pre-release product, if you're opening up this weekend, won't have energy counters in the packs at all.
Yes.
Because Wizards of the Coast left them off of the sheet. So your store will probably have some energy things. Wizards of the Coast sent out a message to all stores saying you can print these out and give them to people. And so you might very well just be able to get from your store a little energy tracker thing.
Mm-hmm. Or you can bring one of your own.
Yep. Or you can write it down in a sheet of paper.
Yeah.
All of these things are things.
Writing's tech. I suggest sheets of paper.
Yeah.
I love paper.
We've mentioned on the show before, like, I personally don't like to use dice to track things that are permanent other than counters on my creatures because I have the propensity to just, like, knock it over on the table and be like, how many energy did I have? So that's why I write things down because I can't knock that over.
Yep. Life Total Recording is the same way. I record everything written down on Life Total. And so there's cards. The example that I use is Aether Theorist. He's a 1/3 for blue and one Vedalken Rogue. When Aether Theorist enters the battlefield, you get 3 energy counters. It's just 3 different energy symbols. And you tap him, you pay 1 energy, and then you get to scry 1. So he's scryfish, but only a limited number of uses. I think actually it's more important that he adds 3 energy for 2 mana and blocks.
Yeah.
Like
seems
the random
solid.
Scry is fine. But I think it's actually more relevant that he makes energy because there's a lot of ways to spend energy in this set. Mm-hmm.
Megan, you made quite a bit of energy this weekend.
I did. That Aether Squall Ancient.
Yes.
3 every time. And sometimes I already had enough.
Yeah.
It came into play and it was just like, well, I already have 8.
You had did you have 24 energy at some point? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
That was Blake
else?
Because he stole it from me.
He stole your energy?
He stole my Aether Squall Ancient. He didn't steal my energy. He stole my Aether Squall Ancient. And that gave him energy like a big old traitor fish.
Oh, traitor fish.
God, worst kind of fish out there.
I played with energy just with my grubs. But
yeah. I mean, the thriving creatures all seem like pretty solid uses of energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And then the other third big mechanic, as we mentioned, vehicles. You get to ride in things.
Yes.
You get to put creatures in things.
Yeah.
I think it's actually super weird that they made Hollow Warrior, a card that nobody remembers from Prophecy, into a whole mechanic.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, nobody's ever seen this card. It's a 4/4 for four generic mana. It's an artifact creature. Hollow Warrior can't attack or block. You may tap a creature to ignore this until the end of the turn. So he basically is crew zero because you have to tap a creature, but he just turns off or turns back on for having a creature.
Oh, well, that's a really cool card.
He's a weird guy. But they just made this unremarkable uncommon from Prophecy into an entire mechanic.
Rob, it's not weird to need support from your friends.
He's not actually, as far as he's thematically, he's not even a creature. He's just a robot suit that you get inside.
Okay, look, every robot suit needs a person to drive it.
That's fair. I mean, if I was a robot suit, I'd need somebody to drive me. So,
yep,
I mean.
Exactly.
Yep.
I want a robot suit. I want a robot suit.
Are you a robot suit?
I wish I was a robot suit. It's one of my big goals in life, to be a robot suit.
To be a robot suit.
Eventually. Yeah,
someday.
Yeah, there is a cool robot suit in this set, too, with the card that's been given the nickname Ripley.
Yes. Yeah.
She looks just exactly.
Total bamf.
If Ripley was a dwarf.
Yeah. So vehicles, I think they're awesome. How do you find them, Rob?
I think they're super neat, but I think that they're kind of a drawback mechanic, actually.
How so?
Like, they aren't creatures all the time, and so they get to downcost them really heavily by putting this drawback that you need to tap some number of creatures on them.
Yes. Right?
So when you look at Eridara Express. It's an 8/6 for 5, which looks sweet, but it's usually not a creature. It has crew 4, so you have to tap 4 power worth of creatures in order to crew it, which means basically you just need, you need to tap oftentimes three of your creatures in order to crew the Eridara Express. It has menace, which means it basically gets to kill 2 of your opponent's creatures every time it attacks.
Yeah.
But it's, it, like, it looks really sweet until you realize that you need itself and probably 3 other permanents in order to actually do anything.
Yeah.
With this common. And for a 5-cost card, that's actually really weird.
Like, you know, I think that, so vehicles, right, the crew mechanic is a real thing. You, first of all, I want to point out, because some people have asked, can I tap 3 creatures to, for crew 3? Is that what that means? No, it means the power, the power of the creatures needs to equal 3. So it could be 1 creature that has 3 power that can crew the... can crew it and it's totally fine. That you need to have a critical number of creatures in your deck in order to pilot these vehicles, essentially.
Yeah.
And in your pre-release pack, you have a little guide that says probably don't put any more than 3 vehicles in your deck. And I think that's a good guideline.
That sounds about right.
Graham lived dangerously and did win both of his matches. He put 4 vehicles in his deck.
well, maybe that's fine. It depends on which four. That, if you have another, and also if you have a high creature count, you know, if you have like... like 18 creatures, 4 vehicles, and 1 spell.
That's fine. There you go. Yeah. That's fine.
Also, there's some vehicles that kind of don't act like vehicles. Notably, Cultivator's Caravan.
Yes.
It's a it looks like a creature. It's a 5/5 for 3 with crew 3. You don't care about any of that. It taps to add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. Yes.
And as people noted over the pre-release. It can tap for mana the turn that it comes into play, as long as it's not crewed.
Correct.
It, because it's just a vehicle. It's not a creature while it's not crewed.
Yeah, Summoning Sickness only applies if it's a creature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's some complicated things that involve crewing vehicles. Do you want to talk about that, Rob?
Yeah. So, so all vehicles have the ability to crew them. They have crew in a number, and that's an activated ability. Mm-hmm. It means you tap that much power worth of creatures. So if we look at the Eridara Express here, it has crew 4. Which means you need to tap 4 power worth of creatures. That can be 4 servos. That can be 2 servos and a random 2/2 or something. And then it becomes a creature. And when it becomes a creature, it gets the power and toughness that it has
printed
in the lower right-hand corner. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to set its power toughness at the time that it does that. And that those creatures have to have the power at the time you activate the ability, because it's an activated ability.
Okay.
And then once you've started crewing, they can kill your creatures. It doesn't matter. They've already gotten in the car. Doesn't matter if they die.
We had this experience at the pre-release, and we were like, it's a ghost robot driving a car because it's a servo. So the ghost of that servo is still behind the wheel. Terrifying, but true.
Yep. And especially in the trains, that's extra funny. I picked the Eridara Express because it's a train, and I get to shout, can't stop the hype train all the time.
It's going to be shouted at so many pre-releases constantly.
There's actually 2 trains. There's also the Renegade Freighter.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... you lock in those creatures. It turns into a creature at the time that the ability resolves. Mm-hmm. It's still a vehicle. It's still an artifact. It just happens to just get turned into a creature as well. And my recommendation, if you're crewing your vehicle, is to just crew it on your main phase. There's really no strategic advantage, and in fact, a lot of strategic negatives to trying to wait until the last possible moment and crew it on your beginning of combat. There's a tournament shortcut. We don't care that much about it, but it like in terms of like teaching new players. But don't try to say, I want to go to combat. Your opponent goes, okay, you can attack me. You go, no, I want to crew. No. You said you wanted to attack. You can attack now. That's the way that we actually have set up the combat shortcuts.
Yeah.
Don't get burnt on it, basically.
Yes.
And the judge will probably let you do it once at your event and then not again. Just to make sure that you're aware that we have a standard set of communication on combat and stuff.
Yeah. So if you're saying move to combat, and if they're like yes, and it's like over, you're done for.
You're declaring attackers. Gone. You're not getting your guys in your.
What train. If you said move to beginning of combat?
Doesn't matter.
It
doesn't matter. Oh, we actually anything that it. So the number of times that you actually want to get priority in your own beginning of combat step, they're all in Legacy, and they're all stuff that we don't care about. There's stuff like your opponent floated some mana on your main phase or something.
Interesting.
And basically, this makes sure that your opponent, when they want to do something like tap your creature or do something after you can cast creature spells but before you can declare attackers, that they, when they say, I just want to respond, they're always responding at your beginning of combat, which means you had to give them priority then. Because that's the appropriate time for them to get priority.
Gotcha. So what is the last absolute moment that you can crew your vehicle?
I would recommend just don't even worry about that. Just do it on your main phase. You don't get anything from waiting.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, crew this vehicle. I want to attack you with it.
Yeah.
Or if you say it all as one thing, servos crew this, it attacks you. And they go, I want to respond to you crewing. Okay, that's fine. Kill it while it's still a non-creature artifact. There's some stuff that cares about non-creature artifacts.
I think what I would personally do would say, crew my yep. train. Move to combat.
Yep.
Is what I would say, just in case they want to bounce it before combat or something yep. like that. Play a trick. Yeah.
They still get the opportunity regardless of what you say.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's just my little way of making it clear, because I did make the mistake of just saying move to combat and like, okay, sure. And then I'm like crew. And they're like, no, that yep. is backwards. So
yep.
just want to point that out. You need to crew before you attack. It's
yep.
pretty important. And probably a lot of people will make that mistake.
Yeah. And like at a pre-release, people will let it go and they'll remind you and they'll tell you not to do it. If you go play in a PTQ that's competitive, they'll be like, nope, we expect you to know the tournament shortcuts
yeah.
because it's higher stakes. So you go play Grand Prix Milwaukee, because I mentioned that earlier. Yeah, you'll be held to that. So
when is Grand Prix Milwaukee?
December
10th. Yes. It's my birthday Grand Prix.
Oh, happy birthday Grand Prix.
I'm going to be doing setup on my birthday. It's great.
Magic on your birthday, Rob.
No magic on my birthday. My birthday's Thursday.
Oh, okay.
when I say I do a setting, I'm going into the hall and setting up all of the Grand Prix stage.
I mean, don't we all, like on our birthday, we all just really want to be useful and good at our job. Yeah, so
that's fair.
Yeah.
I didn't get to be useful or good at a job on my birthday this year.
Why not?
Because I got laid off the Tuesday before. Oh.
Donate on patreon.com/mtacast. No, yeah, but crewing is pretty fun. And once a vehicle is crewed, it's crewed. You can't yep. stop it by killing the creature. It's the ghost is still driving it, which is the best metaphor that I can think of to yep. relate that.
And there's also stuff that talks about crewing a vehicle specifically. Like Speedway Fanatic is a 2-1 for red and a 1 with haste. Whenever Speedway Fanatic crews a vehicle, that vehicle gains haste until end of turn. He crews a vehicle. That car is going fast. Get in there. There's also a white enchantment that says that enchanted creature can't crew vehicles. They take away your driver's license.
Oh.
Yeah. Rough. It's pretty terrible.
Wow.
But yeah.
Well, look, if you're being detained, like you can't get in a car and drive away.
Yeah, that's
true.
I believe that's. Well, the funny thing is there's another card that detains you that still lets you crew vehicles.
Oh, that's captured by the consulate yeah. and you can crew vehicles. Yeah. Yeah.
Weird.
So
when you've been captured by the consulate, they put you up, you know, in like a pretty nice, in a pretty nice spot while they're holding on to you. They're like, here you go. You can drive around.
Yeah. They're like, you can have your parole. Just go drive around the town.
Yeah, exactly. Fine. They get white collar crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Treatment.
The other thing to note about crewing vehicles is you can use creatures that have summoning sickness to crew vehicles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't have the tap symbol. Summoning sickness cares about attacking and the tap symbol specifically. So if you have the Ardara Express and you play a creature and it has Fabricate 2 and it makes 2 servos and you're just like, tap all these and get in there with my train, you can do that.
Yeah.
That's the trade-off that it has versus being a drawback, is it kind of gives your creatures haste.
Yeah, it's interesting because I found myself playing out my vehicles first and then my creatures second to make sure they survived at least to be able to crew for the next turn.
Exactly.
Can any one of us really say that we own a train? Like, it's never our train. It's just a train that we get to own for a little bit.
That you get to borrow
yep,
from,
exactly,
from your employer at the train yard.
Yes.
I feel like William Randolph Hearst probably owned a train or two.
No, look, man, trains just belong to the wild, all right? They're like buffalo or mustangs, okay? They're just...
Like the car?
Like the air?
No, like mustangs.
Like the horse?
Like the wild horse.
Okay.
The wild horse of the American plains.
Megan just sees a Mustang parked outside her house. She's like, well, gonna get in it.
Hey, everybody. That Mustang belongs to no one. No man may own it. I'm just saying, no man may own a train.
Got it.
And they can only go forwards.
Yep. Train facts.
Okay.
So I want to talk about a couple of new pieces of templating that exist on cards.
Sure.
Fabricate has the word create. It says create a token.
Mm-hmm.
That just replaces the put a token out of the battlefield with some characteristics.
Yes.
Makes it way shorter,
perfect,
way smoother
love
to read.
It.
It's so great. Mm-hmm. Create just means make a token. It's pretty cool. One word that got removed from cards. Have you noticed there's no cards with regeneration in this set?
Have heard.
Yeah.
But there is a cat monkey that gains hexproof. Indestructible, sorry. Yeah.
There's also a black creature that gains indestructible until end of turn. They basically just removed regeneration, replaced with indestructible until end of turn. Regeneration was complicated. You had to remember an acronym for it, and it's weird.
Yeah.
It created shields that prevented certain stuff, but not others, and sometimes creatures would die despite having regenerated, despite having one of the things that regeneration was stopping, and they're just like, nope.
Goodbye. Yeah, indestructible, I think, is better, and it's a lot easier for newer players to understand. I remember Megan and I were talking about this. We were very confused by regeneration when we first learned about it, and I think rightfully so. It's very confusing. Yes.
Yeah, regeneration is so, for a long time, my hit list had been regeneration and protection as the two evergreen keywords that needed to go.
Yeah.
And so they're gone.
Look at you. You did it.
Well, I didn't do anything. I had nothing to do with this. Like, I have all sorts of revisions I'd make to the comprehensive rules where rules king for the day. I would change what replacement effects are called is priority number one.
Okay.
But
noted.
Yeah.
First day in office.
They're replacement events now. It makes no difference except that now they're easier to explain.
So everybody, we asked for people to submit us questions for Judge Rob on Twitter, and we got some amazing questions and some very silly ones. So I'm going to read them off to you now, Rob.
Sure.
All right. Here we go. First question comes from, who is this from? Oh, one second. First question comes from Corey. Are you able to crew two vehicles with the same creature if you're able to untap it?
Yes. You can crew two different vehicles. They're two different activated abilities. You can't crew two vehicles with the same creature at the same time, but you can crew and then untap it with, there's that white one that has Ajani on it that untaps all your creatures, right?
Yes. What is it? Impeccable Timing.
Impeccable Timing untaps all your creatures. So you could crew vehicle with all your creatures, use Impeccable Timing to untap all your creatures.
And I thought Impeccable Timing was a 3 damage spell.
No. That's, yeah, you're right. Impeccable Timing is 3 damage. Yes.
It does have Ajani on it.
Yeah, there's two different Ajani. Yeah, Impeccable Timing is a white card with Ajani on it.
Yes.
Maybe it's a blue card with Ajani on it. There's a card with Ajani randomly on it that untaps all your creatures.
The one that you're thinking of is blue.
Yes, it is blue.
Dramatic Reversal. Reversal, untap all non-land permanents you control.
Okay.
And so,
also, what is Ajani doing here, everybody?
I don't know. Saving the day?
Like, he just shows up and beats some people up.
And Jace is there. Jace, get out.
And the flavor text is terrible. Nobody asked you to butt in, Jace, but thanks.
No. Gross.
Like, I thought this was a plot about Chandra Nalar setting everyone on fire.
Me too.
Like,
that's what I wanted to see. Nobody wants to see Jace in here right now. Jace, get out.
Jace, go do your paperwork.
Jace, go do paperwork on Ravnica.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the living guild pack.
Yeah, I was pretty sure that they were tying him to Apron Springs back at home when they first made it a living guild pact, and then he keeps leaving. He's like,
he keeps leaving.
Yeah.
What a bad guild pack he is.
He's the worst CEO.
He's so bad.
Yeah.
Jace, that's his next Planeswalker card, Jace, the worst CEO.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways.
Here's the next question from Lorcan. If both my opponent and I crew vehicles with an artifact creature, who plays first in the subgame of Robo Rally?
That is a good question. The creature with the lowest collector number goes first. Just like in Robo Rally, you have to look at the number at the bottom to determine the order of the...
Great answer to a fake question. Okay, this is from Lachlan. How do Panharmonicon and Erdwell Illuminator work? Is the investigate trigger from, say, a Drownyard Explorers tripled or quadrupled?
So, Drownyard Explorers, just so that we...
Is the 3 and a blue for a 2/4 when it enters the battlefield, you investigate.
Yes. Yep.
So that trigger, Panharmonicon makes it trigger twice, right?
Yep.
On Erdwell Illuminator, I want to make sure that I have the text in Erdwell Illuminator because I think that it's just going to end up being tripled.
Because Erdwell Illuminator, the first time that you investigate again.
Yeah. And so the... Erdwell Illuminator is a trigger. Whenever you investigate for the first time each turn, investigate an additional time. So you're going to have two investigate triggers. One of them will resolve. Erdwell Illuminator will trigger. That'll resolve. And then you just get the third investigate. So you end up investigating a total of three times.
Okay. Yeah, Panharmonicon is a crazy card because it will cause things that you might not even realize to double. Yeah. Like, what is it, Fairgrounds Warden, when it comes into play.
Oh. It's a Fiend Hunter. Exile two creatures.
Two creatures.
Yep.
Sick.
Got wrecked by that.
Yep. All the Gear Hulks trigger again. And all the Fabricate triggers trigger again.
Wow.
And it just a lot of stuff triggers. It's super cool.
All right. A question from Victor. Can you respond to an activated ability that gives energy counters? Kind of like how you can't respond to a mana ability.
You can totally respond to an activated ability that gives energy counters. It is not a mana ability. It doesn't make mana. So it's just an ability, goes in the stack. You can respond to it normally.
Matthew asks, what ways are there to disrupt a creature crewing a vehicle?
You could counter activated abilities, but for the most part, you can't. You should stop them before they get the chance to crew, would be my vote. If the creature spell is on the stack, destroy the vehicle. If the vehicle's in the stack, destroy the creature.
Yeah, there's no way, because if the creature's in play and you destroy a creature, you can just crew in response.
Yeah, exactly. And if you wait for them to activate the crewing, unless you can counter an activated ability or destroy the artifact,
crewed.
Yeah, that car is driving.
Okay. I don't know if this question is for the current cards or whatever, but Jeremy asks, if I have my Painter's Servant in play, naming Blue, and try to equip it with my Sword of Fire and Ice, what happens?
You can't. Painter's Servant and Sword of Fire and Ice are both masterpieces.
Okay.
So it is kind of current cards. If you have the best limited pool of all time, probably don't play Painter's Servant. It's really questionable, but at least in this set. So Painter's Servant says, when Painter's Servant enters the battle, or as Painter's Servant enters the battlefield, choose a color. Everything in every zone is that color in addition to its other colors.
Yes.
And that means Sword of Fire and Ice is blue. You activate the ability, you move it onto the creature, and then it falls off because it gains protection from blue once it's equipped. But you can't, I mean, you shouldn't. Like, just don't ever do this. It gains protection from blue after the equipment's on.
So your Painter's Servant would be like, hey, look, I've got this sweet sword. I'm protected from blue. The sword is blue. Put it down again. Yep.
The sword is blue. I'm getting liar, liar flashbacks right now.
Yep. It's also a trick that I play in Cube with 8.5 tails. I've definitely beaten up swords that give protection from white because I turn them white. People are like, oh, well, that was a great combat for me. And I go, yep, block.
If my Midnight pre-release opponent falls asleep, should they lose their energy counters?
I mean, from a flavor standpoint, yes. From a real world standpoint, no. Also, if they're falling asleep, you should probably tell them to just stop playing Magic and go sleep.
Yeah.
They can just go play normal pre-release.
You can also call a judge for slow play.
Yeah, call judge, be like, hey, I don't want to seem like a jerk. I'm not being a jerk, but man.
This person is asleep.
Yeah, this person is asleep. They should go home, get some sleep.
I've never called anyone a jerk for pointing out that someone is asleep.
Some people are irrational, especially when you just wake them up, they're crabby.
I get that. I get that a lot.
Like, if you woke me up and you told me that I couldn't play in the pre-release anymore, I'd be like, really? I'm at the pre-release?
Yeah. So you're disoriented.
Yeah, really disoriented. And then I'd be angry that you kicked me out of the pre-release. But
when playing in a non-standard format, can you play Pia and Kira Nalar as well as Pia Nalar?
Yeah. Any format where they are both legal? You can play them both.
It might be sad, but but you can.
Yeah. So Kieran Nalar, he'd be sad. He'd be like, wait, I can see my future. This doesn't make me happy.
No!
That's so sad.
Look at my widow and her single thopter.
Yeah.
All right. From Mara, do planeswalkers or non-creature artifacts have summoning sickness?
If they don't have summoning sickness while they are that thing, they will get, basically, they'll track whether or not they entered the battlefield under your control since the beginning of your last turn, and they will basically have summoning sickness once they become creatures.
Right.
So this is relevant for crew. Mm-hmm. You play a vehicle, you crew it immediately, and it probably can't attack.
Unless it has haste.
Yeah, or you crew it with Speedway Fanatic, or it's Oval Chase Dragster or something.
And planeswalkers, you may use their abilities the turn they enter the battlefield.
Correct. And some of them animate into creatures, notably all the Gideons and one Sarkhan, and like many of them get haste when they
get. Gideon does not.
Yeah, Gideon does not.
Ally of Zendikar
does. I found that out the hard way.
Yeah, this is true. Gideon, Ally of Zendikar does not. Sarkhan does. It depends on the planeswalker, you have to look. But when at the time they turn into a creature, they don't have haste.
All right. Tom Boy Stormwatch asks, if a vehicle is crewed and becomes enchanted with a claustrophobia effect, so in this set it would be malfunction.
Malfunction does not apply to this question.
Malfunction enchants artifacts.
Oh, right. So, okay, claustrophobia type effect.
Detained by the console or something like that.
Yeah, the consulate.
Does the enchantment fall off when the vehicle reverts?
Captured by the consulate. Yes. There you go. So anything that says enchant creature, when it stops being creature, will fall off as a state-based action.
Bye-bye.
Which is why notably malfunction says artifact or that's creature. Right. Yeah. Yep. So it will stay on.
Yeah. Malfunction breaks your cars.
That makes sense because I've had malfunction played on my creatures and not my artifacts. And it's just been kind of weird.
Do you know what, Maria? I, as a human being, can malfunction. And I'm okay admitting that.
Yeah.
Dusty asks, will a crewed vehicle be able to Uber me home from the bar after an 03 drop at the pre-release? If so, which vehicle is able to do this?
Probably Oval Chase Dragster.
Yeah. Or I'm going to go with like Bombat Bazaar Barge. If you live near a river.
Yeah. If you live in Venice, take the Bombat Bazaar Barge home. Yes. It's a great taxi service.
It's the safest option, honestly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, most of these aren't terribly great things to ride in. Like Desolation Stomper would probably wreck your house.
Like, oh God! Don't. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, like if you're swanky, you can take the consulate, the Sky Sovereign.
Yeah.
The big old consulate.
That'll probably still wreck your house.
It'll also probably
because it has crew served guns on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And deals 3 damage just whenever the heck it feels like it, basically.
I have a rules question that came in by email.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Okay, for you, Judge Rob, when you crew a vehicle, do all of the creatures have to be tapped at the same time? Would you be able to tap a creature to crew a vehicle, untap it, then tap it again to crew the same vehicle? Similarly, would you be able to tap a creature to crew a vehicle, then bounce it, replay it, and tap it again to crew the vehicle?
You have to have all the creatures available the time you activate the crew ability. It's a single activated ability. It locks in all the creatures at the time that you activate it.
Great question.
Yeah. That is a great question.
This question came in from Shane. What time is it?
10:51 p.m. Central Time.
Good question, Shane. Good question.
That's all the
questions. What were we talking about a second ago?
The bouncing and tapping and replaying.
Bouncing and tapping, crewing, retapping. Oh, worth mentioning that you can overpay for crew
costs.
Yes,
you can definitely overpay. So if you have a crew 3, you could tap 2 2-2s. To crew your crew 3. So the Cultivator's Caravan that we talked about is crew 3. So if you've a pair of grizzly bears, they can ride in your caravan.
Cute.
Adorable. Well,
a pair of bear cubs would be cuter.
But you can't underpay. Like if you had something that had crew 3 and you had a 2-power thing and you wanted to tap it for some reason, you can't just under crew.
You don't want under crew.
You cannot let 2 people into that car and not a third. That car says 3 people.
Yeah. It says minimum occupancy 3.
Yes. Yes. It's like the world's weirdest elevator.
You know, you have to get it. I need three people, and I'm
not going to go anywhere.
Well, it's like the launch code keys, right? There's a key on each wall of the elevator.
There you go.
They're too far apart. They're like 8 feet apart so that no person can reach them both.
So I need Yao Ming or
some more friends.
Or 3 people.
Yeah.
So, Rob, you wanted to talk about some specific cards from the set that might trip people up at the pre-release. Let's hear them.
I did. I want to talk about the Gear Hulks first, because there's 3 of them that are super sweet and also weird. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all super sweet. They're the new Titans. They're slightly less powerful than the old Titans, which is good, because the old Titans were insane.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to talk about Combustible Gear Hulk first, because that's the one nearest and dearest to my heart. I used to play Erratic Explosion Draco in Extended so long ago that Invasion was still part of it, but so Combustible Gear Hulk, 6/6 red 4 artifact creature construct. So it's a colored artifact. First strike, so it's a humongous first striker, just wins all the combats. When it enters the battlefield, target opponent may have you draw 3 cards. If they don't, you reveal the top 3 cards of your library, deal damage equal to the sum of their converted mana cost to your opponent, and then put them in your graveyard. So the thing with Combustible Gear Hulk is you target them and they get the chance to respond right then. If they let you reveal the cards, the damage is locked in. If they say, yeah, go ahead and reveal those, you can just kill them. There's not really anything they can do about it if they said, you can do this. So if they want to respond to gain some life or whatever, to, you know, discard cards to peace of mind, they have to do it before the trigger resolves.
Yep. Okay.
And Cataclysmic Gear Hulk is my next one to note. It's the white Gear Hulk, white 3 for a 4/5 vigilance. And when it enters the battlefield, each player chooses an artifact, a creature, an enchantment, and a planeswalker from among the non-land permanents they control, then sacrifices the rest. And note that this is not Tragic Arrogance. They make the decision, not you.
Yes.
You can suggest things. You can say, you should probably keep that servo and nothing else. And they go, no. Because they can choose the same object for multiple pieces of it. Also, this is an artifact. You can keep it as your artifact and then keep a different creature as your creature.
Sick.
Which usually puts you ahead because it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Good note.
Yep. Verduous Gear Hulk, the green Gear Hulk, 4/4 for green and 3. It has trample. When it enters the battlefield, distribute 4 +1/+1 counters among any number of target creatures you control. So the big thing with the Verduous Gear Hulk is you choose how many counters are going at each thing at the time the trigger goes in the stack. And so they know. They know that, you know, you've targeted the Gear Hulk for 2 counters and you've targeted your Bear Cub for 2 counters. Then they can choose to Welding Sparks your Bear Cub. And those counters are lost. You chose how they're distributed at the time the trigger goes in.
Man, that just is a bad image of you, like, get over here, little cute cub. I'm going to spark some fire in your eyeball.
Yeah.
Sad.
So
you're just like welding near it. And then you set it on fire on accident.
Yeah. That bear cub should have known to wear its protective goggles.
Exactly.
Great point.
Like protective equipment's an important thing.
Do you hear that, everybody? We're not a welding podcast. Yep. But wear protective goggles.
Yeah, wear eye protection. I do work in a factory.
There you go.
I have to take regular training on how not to get killed by forklifts.
Is it a judge factory?
Wow.
No,
it's manufactured judge robots.
No, it's a coordinate measurement machine factory.
Oh, okay.
It's super cool.
Those words mean something to me.
Yeah.
Basically, I could go into real depth, but
we'll get Judge Rob's backstory another day.
Yeah, we can get that at some point. But it's super awesome. The first non-Gear Hulk card I want to talk about is probably the weirdest card in the set, Midnight Oil.
Oh, yeah.
It is an awesome name and an awesome set of abilities that don't make any sense when you first read them. I read this card and I said, I genuinely don't know how this is going to impact gameplay.
Yeah.
So it's an enchantment for black and 2. Midnight Oil enters the battlefield with 7 hour counters on it. At the beginning of your draw step, draw an additional card and remove 2 hour counters from Midnight Oil. If it only has 1 hour counter left, it still will remove that hour counter. Note. Your maximum hand size is equal to the number of hour counters on Midnight Oil. So you keep your 7 card hand size when it comes out, and then your hand size counts down as you get closer and closer to the due date of your finals. Like, it's the worst. Whenever you discard a card, you lose 1 life.
Okay.
You'll draw a card every turn, even if there's no hour counters on it, is what I want to note. I missed this the first time I read it. You will just keep drawing an additional card forever. You just won't be able to keep any cards at the end of your turn after a while.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
It's actually really sweet in an aggressive deck where you want to cast all your spells anyways. And then it randomly enables Madness, but you're probably casting those spells anyways. So, like, you discard it to Madness, you still lose a life for Midnight Oil because you still discarded a card. But it might downcost it if you have, like, if you're playing a bunch of random limited commons from Eldritch Moon. Like,
this would be a strange card if, like, you drew and immediately had to discard it because your maximum hand size was 0.
Yeah, but you don't discard out until the end of your turn.
Okay.
So, yeah. So it's just, you read this card and you're not really sure. What it's really doing is telling you to draw an additional card per turn and then play your hand, please.
Okay, got it.
Because you're going to run out of cards.
Oh.
Saheeli's Artistry. She's the new Planeswalker. I love her. She's very cute.
Yeah, she's great.
And she's also, I think that she's kind of like a worse Ralzarek. Like, I look at her and I'm like, I just want all of his abilities.
At least I don't have to bring a coin around with me when she's in play.
That's fine. You have dice. Like, odds, evens. Like, I was probably the only person in the world to have ever resolved 5 stitching times in a turn before Ralzarek existed. And so I was like, oh, yeah, that seems like a really good ultimate. Everybody's like, I don't know how to evaluate it. I go, it's just 5 stitching times. You've never cast 5 of those in a turn? They go, no. I go, you get about 3 turns.
3 turns seems good.
Yeah, 3 turns. Yeah. But, like, she's great, but I don't think that she's quite... I mean, 3 cost is really good, but I'm digressing. Saheeli's Artistry, though. It's a sorcery. Blue 4. Choose 1 or both. Create a token that's a copy of target artifact. Create a token that's a copy of target creature, except that it's an artifact in addition to its other types. You can choose the same thing for both halves.
Okay.
You have an artifact creature. You have a Gear Hulk. Great.
Ooh.
You now have three Gear Hulks.
What? Really?
Yeah, because you can choose the targets independently, right?
So yeah.
You choose the same thing for the first half and the second half. So this makes two Gear Hulks.
Okay.
And you still have your original Gear Hulk.
Yeah.
That's three Gear Hulks.
Yeah, that's three.
Sweet!
Okay. Like, if you copy the red Gear Hulk twice, they probably die?
Yeah.
Or maybe you draw a bunch of cards. I don't know.
You draw six cards or they die.
Or combination.
Or you draw three and they die.
Yeah.
Or one.
Yeah. And the worst case scenario is you end up with two 6/6 first strikers.
3/6/6 first strikers.
Oh, sure. 3/6/6 first strikers. Right. That's the fallback plan.
Yeah. That sounds
good.
We talked about Captured by the Consulate a couple times already. Mm-hmm. To make sure that everybody has the text. It's white and three, enchantment aura. Enchant creature you don't control. Enchanted creature can't attack. It can still block.
Yep.
And it can still drive cars.
Yeah.
So they can still crew with it. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, if it has a single target, change the target to enchanted creature if able.
Yeah.
So this only applies to spells, notably. This doesn't apply to activated abilities. This doesn't apply to triggered abilities. And it's only if it targets a single thing. So if they have two target creatures get +2/+2 in flying, whatever. They can ignore that thing.
Subtle Strike, which gives something -1/-1 and something else +1/+1 counter.
Yes.
Wouldn't have to target this.
So it,
unless you were trying to just
to
target
give it
one
a counter.
Thing.
Yeah, because you could choose just
if you're
one.
Trying to both give something -1/-1 and give it a counter at the same time for a net neutral, you could do that.
Yeah. Trusty Companion. So I want to read this card to you, and I want you to tell me what creature type it is.
Okay.
Without knowing what it does. It is a 3/2 for white and one, named Trusty Companion.
Ooh.
Vigilance. Trusty Companion can't attack alone.
Okay, I like it.
And its flavor text is, it shows the affection an automaton never could.
It's a dog. It's a hound.
It's a dog.
Nope. It's a hyena.
What?
What? Creepy.
No hyena is affectionate that I've ever met.
Yeah, hyenas.
I watched Lion King.
Yeah, exactly. Hyenas are always in literature represented as being betrayed. Like they're the symbols of betrayal. They're treacherous creatures. Your trusty companion probably isn't a hyena.
No,
this is the first white hyena.
Wow.
And it should be a hound. I don't know why it's a hyena. It makes me disappointed.
Huh? I wonder.
Creepy. It has a.
Probably because it would have made me and Megan's All Dogs Go to Heaven deck way too broken.
Yeah.
It's a 3/2 for two with a drawback.
That's like, true.
It mostly just drives cars as far as I can tell.
Hey, hyena, hop in my car. I trust you. You take it first.
Wouldn't it have been great? I got so excited I knocked my microphone over. Wouldn't it have been great if there was come with me on this, was a groundhog in this set, like a little Kaladesh groundhog, little chubby little, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it had like filigree spikes or something, and and it could obviously crew vehicles, so it's like racetrack groundhog, and the flavor text was, don't drive angry. It's a reference to Groundhog Day.
Oh, yeah, there is when he drives Punxsutawney Phil off the cliff, right? When he decides to commit suicide for 100 lives.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It would be so good. Anyway, there's already a reference to aliens in this set. They probably can only do one per.
Yeah.
Well, they made a lot of references in this set. This is like the 1950s, 1960s set, right? It's all about rock and roll. It's all about fast cars. There's cards named Live Fast, Die Young.
Milkshakes.
Yeah. Like...
Oh, yeah, that milkshake card.
And Die Young's actually the next card on my list.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about, there's a couple of cards that do this. They say, choose target creature, you get some energy. In Die Young's case, two energy counters. Then you may pay any amount of energy. The creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn for each energy paid this way. If the creature is, so if I Die Young your creature, and you, like, bounce it with Aether Tradewinds in response, if my Die Young is countered, and I don't get any energy counters.
Okay. Good to know.
There's a bunch of these just kind of scattered around. They're like, choose a creature, get some energy, and then maybe spend some energy to do a thing. If the target isn't there at the time it resolves, then you're not getting any energy.
Sorry, buddy.
Yep.
Like if someone rips a banana out of your hand in the morning, you're not getting that energy.
It's true. It's mostly monster, but yes.
Yeah, or that. A man after my own heart.
Gonti, Lord of Luxury, who's... cool. He's black and two for a legendary creature, Aetherborn Rogue.
Yeah.
He has Death Touch. He's a 2/3.
So he's probably literally cool to the touch. Do you think Aetherborn are cold?
Do you think Aether is cold?
Or would they be extra warm?
Yeah, so does ether, like, run cold or run hot?
Great question.
We need to answer that before we know if the etherborn are cold or hot. Like, are they, like, you know, kind of like lizards?
They look more like lizards. But yeah. Also,
so it's like their surroundings? Is ether just the temperature of its surroundings?
Does ether smell like gasoline?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
Well, I mean, everything in this plane probably smells like gasoline.
Everything smells like ether, but we don't know what ether smells like. I imagine ether smells like the smell of, like, lightning.
Whoa.
Like ozone?
Yes, it smells like ozone. That's the word I was looking for. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I also want to move to call this lord instead of Gaunty to pronounce it Jaunty Lord of Luxury.
Yep, Jaunty Lord of Luxury. Done.
He doesn't have any colorful clothing.
But he's jaunty in his heart.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair.
He's very gilded. Anyways, we're talking about Jaunty.
Yeah, he's got a new template. When Jaunty Lord of Luxury enters the battlefield, look at the top four cards of target opponent's library, exile one of them face down, then put the rest on the bottom of that library in a random order. For as long as that card remains exiled, you may look at it, you may cast it, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any type to cast it.
Yeah.
That word is the important one, type, because they've never said that before.
They said color, right?
Yep, they always said color, because you didn't care whether or not you're spending mana as if it were colorless. Until, surprisingly enough, the Gatewatch.
Yeah.
And so you can use him to cast the Colorless Matters cards from that set.
You can use them to cast.
Them?
The Aetherborn don't have gender.
They don't have gender?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yes, you can use Gaunty.
Jaunty.
Jaunty. I will just stop using pronouns because that way I don't get confused. You can use Jaunty to cast Colorless Matters creatures.
Sweet.
Very cool.
Which is new and unusual and cool, and I assume they're just going to use that going forward.
I would think so.
Also, I like that it reminds you, the card reminds you that you can look at it, the card that you exiled, because I would love if it said that you had to exile it face down, and then you never got to look at it again. You could only cast it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good luck. Do it for memory, sucker, if you don't remember what that card says. Too goddamn bad.
And note that you may cast it means that you can't play it as a land. So if Jaunty exiles a land because you chose a land for whatever reason, then because you only saw four lands.
Yeah.
So sometimes you miss.
Sometimes you miss.
I'll take this one.
Oh, all right. And you took four lands off the top of your opponent's library. Yeah. Disgusting. It's brutal. That was brutal for you.
Yep. You ended up with a 2/3 death touch.
Who's Jaunty now?
Yeah. Good work of good spend of four mana there.
Your next card is a card that I've nicknamed Witness because look at that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay.
Spark of Creativity, a single red sorcery. Choose target creature. Exile the top card of your library. You may have Spark of Creativity deal damage to that creature equal to the exiled card's converted mana cost. If you don't, you may play that card until end of turn. Just like I was mentioning with the Red Gear Hulk, if they let your spell resolve and you reveal the card, first of all, I would say ask. Can I resolve this? Yes. Okay. You reveal the card. It's too late. They don't get to try to save their creature. They don't get to give it indestructible until end of turn. Their creatures, you get to make all the decisions at that point because they don't get to respond in the middle of it resolving.
Gotcha.
Because it does its whole text once it starts resolving.
Like, excuse me, I'm the person with the spark right now.
Yeah, exactly. You can have the spark later when I'm done with it. I mean, it'll be a little bit.
Yeah.
I also want to talk about Aether Flux Reservoir, which is an alternate victory condition card that doesn't say win the game, which is really cool. It's a 4-cost artifact. Whenever you cast a spell, you gain one life for each spell you've cast this turn. Is the first piece of text on it.
Nice.
Which, that's actually the thing I want to talk about, which is it tracks stuff that's already happened earlier in the turn before it comes out.
Oh really?
So if your first spell's an Aetherflux Reservoir, and then you cast some other spell after it, that's the second spell you've cast this turn, so you gain two life.
Okay.
And so it'll see things that happened before it entered the battlefield.
Oh, it's psychic.
It won't give you life off its own casting, but it'll see itself and other spells that were cast before it when counting how many spells you've cast this turn. Because it isn't, that's just a thing based on the game. It's not based on Aetherflux Reservoir. It also has an activated ability, pay 50 life, colon.
Nice.
Which is a great opener for any ability. Like, this better be sweet. Aetherflux Reservoir deals 50 damage to target creature or player. I don't know why you can target creatures with this.
Do you know what? Sometimes they just have something you really want dead.
But it makes it so much worse, because in modern, Spellskite can hijack this and take the bullet for you.
Oof.
Oh, right? Goddamn. Like, that's probably why. That's why.
Yeah.
Right. I hate Spell Skite.
I read this card and I'm like, I'm going to build a modern deck. And then I read it again and I said, wait. Wait, Spell Skite, you take the bullet.
Yeah.
Oh, Spell Skite! Ooh, you're the bane of my existence, Spell Skite.
Although if you've cast enough spells to have 50 life, how is Spell Skite still in play?
So you need
why didn't one of the things you did to get 50 life include killing
Spell Skite? So if you want to get 50 life in a turn, you need to cast 17 spells, right?
Okay.
Wow.
And so, that's a lot of spells.
You're telling me one of them couldn't be killed Spell Skite?
Sorry. Your sequence has to be, like, if you want to start, like, if you want to take two cracks, so that you need to cast, like, 16, 17, 18, 19 spells in order to take two bites at the apple in a single turn.
Okay.
And it's just insane.
Like, question.
You could just put a storm.
Panharmonicon with this. Do I gain two life?
No.
Okay.
Because this is whenever you cast a spell. Panharmonicon is whenever a creature enters the battlefield, basically.
Okay.
So it's, they're just different things.
Sure.
This triggers off of things that aren't creatures and not based on entering the battlefield. Your stuff can get countered and you'll still gain life from Aetherborn Reservoir.
Okay.
Which is pretty sweet. I want to talk about animation module next. It's an artifact for one. Whenever one or more +1/+1 counters are placed on a permanent you control, you may pay one colorless mana. If you do, create a 1/1 colorless servo artifact creature token. This triggers, so if something puts counters on multiple things at the same time, then it'll trigger once for each creature that had +1/+1 counters put on it. People are talking about playing it in Affinity and Modern, because when you activate Steel Overseer, it puts a +1/+1 counter on each artifact creature you control, and triggers each for each creature.
Oof.
And then you get to pay one colorless per creature to make a servo.
Gotcha.
So if you have three creatures and you put counters on all of them, then you can pay three mana and get three servos.
Oh boy.
Which, like, oftentimes, if you activate it multiple times over the course of a game, you win the game anyways.
Yes.
It's just the nature of Affinity. If you get to activate your
Steel Overseer
two or three
twice.
Times,
like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're done.
You're winning.
Yeah. Okay. This is just a win more in that situation, but it's still cool, and it'll probably come up in Standard as well. There's things that distribute multiple +1/+1 counters. It's random green enchantment.
Like the Gear Hulk.
Oh yeah, the Gear Hulk does. The Virtus Gear Hulk. If you spread four counters out, you can pay four mana to get four servos.
Ooh.
The other ability it has is three tap. Choose a counter on target permanent or player. Give that permanent or player another counter of that kind. So you can target yourself and get an energy for three and tap.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, it puts +1/+1 counters on things, which it then makes servos for.
Very cool.
Which is pretty sweet.
Very cool.
It's just weird. And Panharmonicon, which we've talked about a billion times already,
is
the last one on my list. If an artifact or creature entering the battlefield causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time. This isn't a triggered ability itself. This is a static ability. It just changes the way the game works.
Are you first picking this, Megan?
No.
Not after what happened to you.
Fire.
Well, that's the only way to make sure you don't play against it is to first pick it.
Or to set it on fire.
In a draft?
Yep. Like, excuse me, I'm going to take this card outside, burn it, and then we can all continue.
Okay.
It doesn't count as my pick. I'm leaving the basic land in.
You're playing the best conspiracy, right?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for all that awesome information, Jill Drop.
Yeah.
You're welcome, anytime.
If people want to ask you more questions about this set, how can they reach you?
They can send me an email. Robbit, R-O-B-B-I-T, @gmail.com is my email address. And that's the best way to respond to me. I respond pretty quickly. I've answered a bunch of emails from fans.
Yeah, and you're the real deal. What level judge are you?
I'm a level 3 judge, and I'm an advanced role. I'm regional coordinator of the North region.
That's
why I have the spiffy blue shirt. Normally you see judges in black shirts or red shirts.
It's great.
Only the best of the best here at MTA.
Yep, pretty much.
It is time for grossest card first. Runner-up... The award goes to Cowl Prowler.
Yes, looks like a big poop.
Yeah, it's gross. It's a giant worm. It's nasty. But the grossest card, and Maria heard me.
Yeah, I did.
And I, even now, like earlier, I just like glanced at it and shuddered. It is Fretwork Colony. It is like, you guys.
Sick, it is gross.
There's like all of the bugs on the thing, and there's a bunch of them on the thing on the background too. Okay, now we're going away. Oh, God. It's just, go and look at it. There's a bunch of bugs. There's a bunch of bugs on things in the foreground. And then there's like...
who did this art. I'm going to scroll past it.
And then
it
there's piles of bugs on things in the background. Just covering it. It's terrible. I'm upset. That's...
It's
that's
really gross.
That's the end. That's all. Thank you. All
right, let's palate cleanse with the cutest card in the set. The moment we've all been waiting for.
Yes.
There's a couple runners-up, which are very cute. This set was notably extremely difficult because it was extremely cute. So props to the art department because I love cute cards, and these cards are really cute. Second runner-up is a very cute card, Ambitious Automaton. Mm. If you look at the art, you'll see there's an automaton who has crafted a tiny little shoulder friend version of itself.
Yes.
I don't know. Cute. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the tiny one made the big one.
We'll never know. Who knows? Which came first, the tiny automaton or the big automaton?
I don't know. It's adorable.
We don't know.
Also running up is one that's probably going to be hit me with some controversy.
Oh.
Which, you know, I'm not a stranger to with cutest card.
Yeah.
Is Filigree Familiar runner up. First one.
That's a perfectly fair choice.
So cute.
It's very, very, very cute, but it just couldn't unseat the cutest card of the set.
Yeah.
Which I take great pride in naming Thriving Grubs.
Yes.
Thriving Grubs, cutest card.
No one is surprised.
Nobody should ever be surprised.
No.
I put them all in my pre-release deck. I mean,
they're absurdly adorable.
They're so absurdly cute.
They are very cute.
They're just tiny little grubs.
Great.
They're up in that vehicle doing their grub business. Ooh, I love them. Tiny little grubs. Well, everybody, that's our show for this week. A big thank you again, of course, to Judge Rob, who always joins us and gives us the great what's happening with the new set.
The great what's happening. Oh, yeah. Thank you again also to our sponsor, Card Kingdom. Check them out if you're in Seattle or go to cardkingdom.com for all of your singles and other magic and gaming needs.
/MTAcast.
So they know we sent you.
Yeah, of course, patreon.com/MTAcast. Head over there if you haven't joined our family already. We greatly appreciate it. Go out there and have fun at the pre-release this weekend, you guys. Yeah, Megan's holding up.
Check out the sweet prize for that'll go in the pool for this month, the classic art tokens. Also check them out.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out, of course, to Tularean Community College on YouTube. That's where you can find the video version of this podcast every week. The professor does us a huge... huge giant favor, which he doesn't need to do, which is edit the video version of the show.
Oh boy.
And that's incredible. And I don't think we call him out enough for it because it's amazing of him.
I would make the case that on the pre-release shows, it's actually the single most useful thing because the cards pop up as we talk about them constantly.
Holy cow.
And you don't have to look them up anymore and you can just see it all right there on the screen, which is fantastic.
And you always respond to questions in the comments of the YouTube video as well.
I try to. It depends on how busy I am. This month's going to be hit or miss because, as I mentioned, I'm moving.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. So that'll be on Tularean Community College on YouTube. The professor, A+ guy. And check out the show there as well. Yeah. So, yeah. Next show, we'll have pre-release chat. It'll be really epic.
Yeah,
hopefully, I'll open 2 more Giselles and a Bruna and see what happens.
Not possible.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, I can hope.
Sorry, buddy.
You could open multiple Pias.
Yes.
Nah.
That'd be a good deck.
Yeah.
I'd play that deck.
Multiple gear hooks.
Multiple inventions. Soul Ring, come to me!